First Peter chapter 3, please. First Peter chapter 3. We could definitely look at the scriptures in Ephesians chapter 5 again. They would all apply to this message here and this truth that is being taught. This is Divine Commands for Marriage, part 4. And I hope you're not tired of hearing about marriage. And it's needed in our country. It's needed in our churches. And we get lax on things, and marriages are in trouble today because we don't know the Bible well enough, and we don't understand what God expects from us, and what He expects from you as a lady, and what He expects from a man, as a husband. And when you don't know these things, when you don't understand these things, well, if you've not gotten married yet, then pay attention. Amen? Because these messages will help you. If you haven't heard all of them, go online and listen to them. They'll help you. You need to understand what God expects from a husband and a wife. Too many times we have not preached these things from the pulpit, where the real authority that God gives from the Word of God lies is from the pulpit of the church. I mean, as far as obviously it's the Word of God, but I mean, where it goes forth in the church house and the assembly is through the pulpit, and God uses the pulpit. He always has used the preaching of His Word. And we need to understand the authority that comes with that is the Word of God, and how important it is. I'll read these verses. Let's pray first. Father, I pray You'd be with us. Holy Ghost of God, speak to every heart in this room. Help us understand the great truths of marriage. Lord, we need strong marriages. Dear God, help us to repent where it's needed. Father, help us to live for You, to serve You. Help us to raise children for Jesus Christ. Help us to have family-centered church or Christ-centered churches that are based upon building the families up for You, Lord, so we can go out and start more churches and do the work that You've called us to do. But dear God, if our families are not strong, if they're not Christ-centered, if the marriage is not Christ-centered, it all falls apart like we've seen. Help us, Lord. Dear God, everything ought to be for the glory of God the Father and Jesus Christ, His Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 3, likewise ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair, and of wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, of great price. For after this manner, in old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection of their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Now listen to this. This is your verse today. This is the verse we're going to concentrate on. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Well, there's a lot in that verse, isn't there? A whole lot in just one verse that really sets men... this whole chapter here, well, I'll read the rest of it, but this whole chapter from start here down to these seven verses really explain the husband and the wife and what God expects from the wife as far as subjection to her husband. But, gentlemen, before you get too excited about that, understand the responsibility from that, because of that subjection, comes in for you and I in verse number 7. We understand that ladies are supposed to be in subjection to their own husbands. But go to verse number 7 and here's your responsibility because of that subjection. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. That your prayers be not hindered. Now, this is the fourth message in this series on divine commands for marriage. The first message covered the duties of intimacy in the marriage to avoid fornication. We'll not go back through those. The 1 Corinthians chapter 7 sets it all out. It is not good for a man to touch a woman, explains, but nevertheless, let every man, let every woman have their own spouse, it talks about there. Let them have that for that purpose, to avoid fornication, that they burn not in lust one to another, that's what happens when someone needs to be married and things like that. When they pass that time and it's time to get married, the Lord laid that out and said that to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, let every wife have her own husband. That was God's order. Now, we're not allowed to usurp that that order when you're married and defraud one another. The Bible talks about not defrauding one another, that you're to take care of one another. You're to be good. You're to be good to one another, be benevolent to one another, and take care of each other's needs, that the devil not get the upper hand. The Bible talks about that the devil not tempt you for your incontinency. Tempt you for your lack of self-control or your over-aggressive passion and things. The proper order of marriage must be kept. Those intimate duties must be performed. Those intimate acts must be taken care of in order to keep the fornication and everything else out. Amen. And when that's not followed, then trouble comes because of that. As we've seen in different situations of marriages and things like that. Now, also, that the husband and wife... The second sermon we dealt with were husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. That husbands are to love their wives and they're not to be bitter against them. Deal with them after a bitter manner. Be mean-spirited or aggressive towards them, or treat them like a slave or something of that order. They're not to do that. The next sermon we covered was leaving, cleaving, and reverencing. That a man is to leave his father and mother, cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. What does that mean? That's when we say the wedding vows, when we pronounce those vows, when we agree to those things, we say we're willing to forsake all and follow. And a lady is to obey her husband, and a husband is to say, I will come, and I will join together with my wife, and it will be one together. We've made that promise to forsake all others for each other. Amen? That is the promise of marriage. That is the covenant that is made there. Now, you're not allowed, men, to allow family members and other people to get in between your marriage and tell you how to raise your children and tell you and put down your wife and get in between you like that. You're not allowed to let that happen. You're not allowed to let outside influences enter into the union and cause a discord and cause a problem and cause a separation. No one should come in between you and your husband and your wife relationship. No one. That goes for children too as well. Children aren't allowed to do that. No one is to come between that relationship. You're to keep that strong. Amen? You're to love your wife and be not bitter against her, not to deal with her after a bitter manner. And you're to love her like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. He sacrificed for the church. He gave himself for the church. And you're to give yourself, husband, to your wife as well. How are you to teach her subjection and love and everything else? How is she, you expect her to love you if you're not giving yourself? Amen? You lead by example. That's what the Bible talks about, being an example. Amen? So we dealt with that, leaving, cleaving, and reverencing. Now, the wife is supposed to reverence her husband. She's supposed to respect him. She's supposed to have a godly fear of him. Not a fear like, he's going to hurt me, but a godly reverence for the authority of a husband, or the place of a husband over her as her head. Now, that's not a fear that they're going to hurt you or punish you or beat you or anything like that. That should never be the fear of a lady. A lady should never have to wonder if her husband is going to smack her around or push her around or be aggressive with her in that manner. She should never have to even think about that twice. You should never give your wife a feeling, gentlemen, you should never give your wife a feeling of her being threatened by your physical force, because you're the one that's supposed to protect her. You're the one that's supposed to be the head over her and to protect her. You don't lead by force like that. You don't lead by aggressiveness, assertiveness, and anger like that and expect her to ever love you or trust you or anything else. You will cause great discord and problems when you do that. That's Islamic behavior, and other cultures really did that a lot. Other religions and false doctrine did that a lot. When Christianity, when the New Testament came about and Paul gave down the order of marriage and everything else, it was way different than even what the Jews were used to, because some of the Jews were not used to some of these things, and Paul was setting things in order. He was really explaining some of these things in detail, that, hey, listen, folks, this is not the way, this is the way a lady, your wife, is to be treated. This is the way the husband is to be reverenced. This is what's supposed to happen. Amen? This is what is supposed to take place. So understand that we're not allowed. Nobody's allowed to get in between you and the union you have with your wife or husband. That is not appropriate. I don't care if it's in-laws or outlaws or family or anything else. You're not supposed to have others trying to raise your children for you and tell you how you're going to raise your kids and interfere with your correcting and your parenting of your children. Amen. I've had to put a lot of parents in their grandparents and others in their place when they've tried to do it before, because it's not right. It's not the proper order, and your kids will not respect you if others lord over them. You understand that? They won't respect you. They'll lose respect for you. They'll lose respect for you if somebody else tries to parent them and you don't stop them from doing that. Amen? Understand that, folks. That's serious stuff. That's not a joke. They lose their loyalty. They lose you'll lose their heart. And you'll have to work to get it back. Amen? So best to end those things and best to tell people to mind their own business and to butt out. It's not that hard to do. You'll get used to it if you do it a few times. And you'll be fine with it. It won't bother you that much after the first time. Never bothered me the first time, but I'm okay with doing it because I know it's my God-given right to do and authority to do so. So I have no problem with doing that, because it's necessary. And men need to lead their homes and not allow everybody else to do it. Amen. So understand that that's just important, and that's what the messages were about there. Now, but today what we're going to look at is divine commands. The husband honoring the wife as the weaker vessel. What does that mean? Honoring the wife as the weaker vessel. Well, you probably won't like what it means, men, but this is what it means. The first command is husbands dwell with them. It says here in verse 7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Now, let's just take this first part. Husbands, dwell with them. Wives are commanded to submit to their own husbands, but husbands, we are commanded to submit to this very word of God that we're reading out of here today, that we're preaching out of. We are commanded to submit to this great truth that is here, that husbands are to, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. We are to submit, men are supposed to submit to the Word of God in leading their homes. All must submit. We too must submit to the Bible that holds us accountable for our actions, and as leaders, conduct ourselves and handle our affairs according to the Scriptures. But a very important word sticks out here, beginning of this great command for husbands, likewise, in like manner, also, moreover. He's just not drilling. He just got them telling the wives to submit themselves to their own husbands. You submit to your husband. Amen. But you must submit to the great truth under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost that God has for you as well. See, all are in submission to someone. Amen. A husband is still in submission to God in his marriage and what he does. He is still in submission to God. He is still supposed to lead according to the Scriptures. Amen. That is his God-given duty. Amen. No woman wants to submit to a tyrant or a bully. It's not very easy to submit to a tyrant or a bully. Now, that doesn't mean when you speak strongly on marriage and everything. I have some people that think that that's bullying when you say what a proper place for a lady is. That they don't like that. That makes them feel uncomfortable. And I tell them, well, you're just a feminist. That's why you don't like it. Amen. I don't have any problem telling a lady she's a feminist if she is. I mean, if I'm preaching, that is. But if I won't tell your wife she's a feminist, but I might tell mine. But she's acting like one. But anyway, what I'm saying is that, you know, sometimes ladies, they don't like to hear some of this sometimes. They don't like that. They don't like somebody telling them the truth, that the Word of God has revealed to you that this is the proper place that God has placed you. This is where, if you want to honor and glorify God, this is where you'd be. Now, if that bothers you, you can get right with God about it. Amen? You can get right. That's the wonderful thing about repentance. Amen? Isn't that a wonderful doctrine, repentance? If you preach it, you'll start, and if you practice it, you'll start to like it. Amen? Amen? You really will, because you'll see the mercy of God in repentance. For the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Amen? It's a very good doctrine. Amen? And I thank God for it. But listen, folks, praise God He informs us, because we as men have no clue on our own how to dwell with our wives according to knowledge. Amen. But he says to dwell with them. Here's the problem. Today, what we see in marriages is that husbands aren't dwelling at home. The dwelling part is a problem. They don't live at home. Amen. Now, we see some marriages that are more open than others where men are on the road weeks and weeks at a time and they're never around their wives. Folks, that's not dwelling with your wife when you're never around her. Amen. Now, in this day and age, we don't have to do that. We don't have to be away from our wives for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks at a time. We don't have an economy like that anymore. We don't have a job situation like that where we don't. I'm saying a Christian husband should not spend weeks and months away from his wife. In that case, now I know military and other things happen, war. I'm not talking about that. Those are not normal circumstances. But today you have a problem with husbands not dwelling at home. They're not home. Amen. They're not there to father their children. How in the world can a husband be a husband if he's only home a few hours a week? If he doesn't sleep in his own bed half the time? You think about that. How can you lead that home and be a strong leader in this day and age that we live in? See, things are different than they once were, folks. We're not in a day and age where you have to travel by horse for miles and miles and miles to get someplace, you know, hundreds of miles. You don't do that anymore. It's not like that. There's many husbands now, they don't even sleep with their own wives in their bed. And they're not loving them and spending time with their wives and keeping duties as the head of the home and guiding and directing and loving her as Christ loved the church. In this day and age, it's ill-advisable for a man to be weeks away from his wife in the first place. Folks, I'm not for evangelists that stay on the road for long periods of time away from their family. I'm just in the name of God. Why? Well, I mean, they're never around their wives. They have a remote control in the hotel room. Pornography everywhere. Wickedness everywhere. But they're stronger than the average man. They can do it. No. No accountability. None! Where's the accountability? Oh, you just have to trust me. I don't trust me! That's why I put barriers up in my life, because I don't trust the devil. And I block all those things out so they're not going to affect me. And I hold myself accountable. And whether I'm here or on the road, amen, it doesn't matter. If I go on the road, I'm going to take my family with me. I don't, like I told you earlier, I don't like to go, I don't want to go by myself out there. I don't want to be around. Why, are you afraid to go do something? No, I'm afraid the devil hates me enough that he'll be after me. Amen? If that makes you think I'm weak, then I'll be fine to be weak in your eyes, but strong in the Lord's. Amen? You don't have to do something foolish to prove that you're strong. Because all you're proving is that you're stupid. Sorry, moms, I know you don't like that word. Folks, it's not wisdom from above when so many people are chasing dollars and dreams and our homes are turning into nightmares. We're not dwelling with the one that we made a covenant with. And Peter's trying to show us how to live with our wives. He's saying how to dwell with him. Why do you think he's doing that? If you look at this, he is explaining to you, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with him. He said, all right, I'm going to tell you how to dwell with your wife in peace and how to do things right. Why? Because we need it. That's why. Amen. We need that teaching and instruction. We need that. All of us need that. We need instruction from the Word of God, how to be the right husband. A wife needs instruction about how to be the right wife to have a harmonious relationship. Amen. And to honor God with it. If you want a marriage that works, you'll follow the Bible. If you want a marriage that's rocky, then you'll follow the world's methods and a bunch of psychologists and psychiatrists. Huh? That'll try to tell you the right way to do things. Which is humanistic. Humanism. Most marriages do not work because the husband is never there. I'll be honest with you, he's not fathering his children. I don't mean just gone on the road for weeks. I'm saying he's just not there. He doesn't father his children. He doesn't spend time with his children. He doesn't spend time with his wife. They're not dwelling together. They're not living together in harmony and peace and love. They're not there. They're never around. If you're saying you're too busy for your family, then you're too busy. You need to quit something. Amen? You need to take the time to spend with your children and your wife. That's what God expects from you. He does not expect you to spend time doing everything else besides being with God. You know why so many pastors lose their families? Because they don't take care of their homes. They don't take care of their homes. At all. And then their families go to hell and they wonder why. Well, you're so busy trying to take care of every place, Superman, and try to take care of everybody else's home that you're not home taking care of yours. And I refuse to build a big, huge church, which I probably won't anyway, but I refuse to build a big, huge church and sacrifice my family for it. And watch my own children go to hell in the name of being super Christian preacher. I'm not doing it. Amen. That's why the Lord gave me the vision to plant more churches. Amen. Plant little Bible-believing Baptist churches all over. Amen. Why? Because I don't have to sacrifice my family to do that. I don't have to have 500 people that I give 5 seconds to. Honestly, the average fundamental Baptist church you go to, you get about 30 seconds with that pastor, and he's so busy, he doesn't even have time to talk to you hardly. It's true. Why? Too many people. Corporations too big to handle. Amen. Number two, we're to dwell with them according to knowledge of her being the weaker vessel. The Bible says that she is the weaker vessel. So then we must use knowledge from the Scriptures and special care as we deal with our wives. We are both to be vessels of honor. Amen. Remember that. You're a vessel as well. Because 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21 says this, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." That is what a husband is to be. That is what a man of God is supposed to be. A husband is supposed to be that vessel of honor, and he's supposed to help his wife as the weaker vessel, and understand that. Now, ladies, if that bothers you being called a weaker vessel, you just might be a feminist. But if that bothers you, you just might be. That's what the Bible calls you. Amen? What is it about the weaker vessel, though? Well, the weaker the vessel, the more tenderly it should be treated, husband. Do you understand that? It's not a weaker vessel, say you order them around because they're in subjection to you and you're the general in an army and you just tell her what to do all the time. Folks, that's not what being a weaker vessel, that's not the wife, that's not honoring her as the weaker vessel. That is not caring for her and taking care of her. That is not what that is. That is bullying her, that is dealing out of bitterness and anger, that is saying I have a slave that is submissive to me, that will do what I tell her to do. That is not the biblical design of marriage, and that's not what God is talking about here. What He is saying to you is that she's a weaker vessel, so if we have something that's more fragile and weaker, what do we do? Well, let me ask you something. When you ship something, and you ship it, and they ask you, is it fragile? What do you say? Yes, if it's fragile, you say, yes, it is. So what do? They take special care of that package because it is fragile. Now do you understand the weaker vessel? Are you starting to get the idea of what that means? That means the husband, as the stronger in some areas, is to strengthen the weaker vessel. Amen? He is not to abuse the vessel, otherwise the vessel will break. It is weaker, it needs special care. Then it needs special care. That's what that means. She needs special care. She needs special attention. Amen? The husband must treat his wife with thoughtfulness and consideration of her being the weaker vessel. Nevertheless, a vessel unto the Lord that is to be cared for. Men, the fact is unquestionable that a woman is less robust in constitution, in her size, less powerful in muscularity, and of more delicate nervous organization than a man. They're different. Thank God they're different. Amen. But they're different. They have a weaker constitution in many ways. They're not as strong. Amen. And definitely, their emotions and their heart and who they are, they're not the same as a man. That nervous, the whole system of who they are, the way they act on their emotions, they are different. A lady is different than a man. Now that shouldn't offend you if you're a lady. It's just common sense. But there is a difference. And they're to be treated as such in a different way. And you know what's sad? We've gotten so far away from that we don't. We treat each other just like everybody's a man. That's how everything, you're treated just like you're married. The propriety of relationships, the piety, the separation standards between a man and a woman are not as strong as they used to be because we treat everybody the same as the same vessel. Well, listen, a lady is not the same as a man, folks. She's not a female man. She's not the same way. She acts different. She has different needs, different desires, her feelings. Yeah. Now, many men will use that weaker vessel, though, to their advantage and deal in an abusive and mean-spirited, overbearing, threatening way with a woman because she's a weaker vessel. That is not what God intended. That is not why He lays out here this truth of the weaker vessel. That is not what He's telling you. And shame on a man if you and I believe in our hearts that we're able to bully people around because we're stronger than them. I don't mean just physically. I'm talking about in every area. That is not what God intended for marriage. That is not the design that God had for a man to act like a barbarian. Now you can act like a barbarian towards other men if you want to. But towards a lady, you shouldn't. There should be a difference. Amen? should be a difference. Peter is given these instructions. He's explaining, don't treat your wife like the heathen treats her. Their wives. Women, I'm telling you, you don't understand. If you study the history of women in society, back in biblical times, it was pretty bad. They were thrown around like dogs. They were used, abused. I'm telling you, it was very poor. Christianity lifted up the lady. Amen. You must understand that Christianity, if you study history, Christianity elevated the lady to the position that God wanted her to be in. Because other religions, other areas, even Jews, the way they treated ladies was not right. And Peter is explaining this. He is saying, listen, there is a difference with a married man under the covenant of God and a born-again believer, how they're to treat their wives as the weaker vessel. Irresponsible power and selfishness led to female degradation. That's not submission. Degradation is not submission. By the way, it's not degradation to put you in your place either. Understand that? Yeah? But when I dwell according to knowledge, I understand who my wife is and I study her according to the Scriptures. That means, men, if you're going to deal with them, dwell with them according to knowledge, you've got to get your knowledge from the Word of God. You've got to get wisdom from above. You cannot try to deal with her according to man's way and man's thinking. You must understand what the Scriptures say and obey the Word of God and follow it in dwelling with your wife. Men should get their knowledge of a lady from the Scriptures and not from psychology or humanistic materials and philosophies. Let me ask you a question, men, husband. Do you know your wife's spiritual weaknesses? Do you know them? Ask you. Think about it. Do you know them? Do you know where she lacks spiritually and she needs strengthened? Well, maybe you don't know yours, so you don't know hers. How about her character flaws? Do you know those? Things that she may need to work on? You know those? Now, if you're a lady and that makes you mad that I just said that, well, you've got your own issues to deal with. But do you know them? Do you know what makes her angry? Yeah, I do. I do. Do you know what makes her happy? Do you dwell with her according to knowledge? See, you've never seen it that way before. The way you look at it is, this is my wife, she's to submit to me. But yeah, but you're forgetting about verse number 7 that tells you to dwell with her according to knowledge. That means you're to understand what her flaws are. You're to understand what her spiritual strengths are, her weaknesses are, what she needs to work on, and you need to help her with those things. You know, two people can be on the same journey and never talk to each other and know anything about each other. Do you know that? Two people can board the same ship, go on the same direction, and never talk to one another, communicate. That's how a lot of marriages are. That's how a lot of marriages are. They're on the same journey, but they don't ever communicate with each other. I know people in their houses, and I'm serious, it surprises me. One brother has no idea what their sister is doing. They both live in the same house, like, hey, they don't know a thing. Not a thing. Nobody in the house communicates. Nobody in the whole family communicates. They don't know anything about anybody. Anything. I don't know. Really? Nobody knows anything about what anybody's doing. All living together. All dwelling together. All on the same journey, but no idea. But don't know each other. Peter's saying you need to dwell according to knowledge. You need to know something about your wife and know the Scriptures. I'll tell you one thing, the trip is sure happier, though, when you know each other and have fellowship one with another. Do you know your wife and dwell with her according to knowledge? Think about that. Just because you and I are leaders does not mean that we're given the authority to provoke them to anger and wrath or mistreat them as the weaker vessel. Well, she's just mad and that's just tough. No, that's not really the way it's supposed to be. Yeah. This may be too practical for some of you, but it's very true and it's very applicable. because there's a lot of miscommunication and no communication in marriage. And husband, you don't understand that wife is there to complete you. But if you're not leading her and dwelling with her according to knowledge, how in the world is she ever going to help you? But then you come down on her when she doesn't do something you like, or she doesn't pass your test of something you want done. But hey, big mouth, when's the last time you instructed her and taught her something? How about that, big guy? When's the last time you went to her and said, well, let me teach you how I want you to do this? Or let me teach you what might be better. This is the way we should do this. When's the last time you did that? No, but you'll be big to point that finger and complain about what they do. But never instruct, but then complain. But then you want to play head of the household and put your leader cap on. When you're ready to point your finger, then you put the captain's hat back on and say, now you're going to get it, lady. But you've never instructed, you've never taught, you've never honored her as the weaker vessel, you've never done any of those things, but you can sure put the general's cap on when it's time to point a finger at somebody. Right? Then you can put the cap on. Then you can have a problem. Amen? Bible says to give honor. It says Sarah was submissive to Abraham. But you know what? It never says that Abraham was a tyrant to her. Remember again, a weaker vessel that is more fragile is cared for to a greater degree. But too many husbands just want to be married and not work on their marriage. I'll be married, but I won't work on my marriage. But when something goes wrong, you're ready to rumble. Which, by the way, just shows a lot of spiritual immaturity and a lack of understanding and knowledge from the Scriptures. The Bible says here to give honor unto the wife, to treat her with due civility and respect in the ordinary intercourse of life. That doesn't mean that honor doesn't mean the same thing as reverence or fear, but it means respect. To treat with due civility and respect. This is not the same as to fear them like we would fear God or those in authority, but it's a respect and a love. We're to respect them and love them. To show honor to someone is not always to show subjection to them, but to honor to whom honor is due. Amen? As she is a joint heir with you. Remember that one? Joint heir. She should be honored as that. To honor her as the weaker vessel is to know her faults and her failures. Listen! Listen! And not to expose them for the world to see, but to privately help her and teach her with the knowledge from the Word of God. You're not to go off and tell everybody how bad your wife is. Amen? Now, I'm not talking about seeking counsel from the pastor or talking things. I say, what would you advise me to do? Or I'm not talking about that. Understand that. What I'm saying is you're not to go. You don't need to go badmouth your wife to everybody and tell them how she's failing you in every single way of your life. Especially when you probably haven't instructed her in the first place and helped her. You just ran your mouth on her. You're not to do that. You're, as the weaker vessel, you're to hide those frailties. You're to hide those and work on them privately. But the problem is, most men are too much of cowards. They will go tell everybody else how bad their wife is, but not privately deal with her and instruct her because they're scared of her wrath when she gets mad at you. Amen. So you don't instruct and you don't teach and you don't enforce the truth because you're too scared. But you'll go out and tell everybody how bad your wife is. Do you see the difference? That's not honoring her as the weaker vessel. You're not training her. You're not teaching her. You're not guiding her. She's not a child. She's your wife. There's a difference. Not the same as a child. Colossians 3, verse number 14. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Put on charity. Love. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Your love is to cover the multitude of her sins to others. You don't allow others to bash your wife. Amen? Some people get upset with that when you put them in your place when they try to do that. They don't understand why nobody's allowed to say, yeah, that's right, nobody. Me, I'll deal with it. In my family, I'll deal with it. Amen? By the way, you liking it has nothing to do with me still dealing with it myself. Amen? Some people don't like that boldness. But that's the way men used to be. Amen? Right. They would say, no, I'll deal with it myself. You don't let somebody go deal with your wife. Amen? Remember, she's the weaker vessel. You're to deal with her. You're to take care of your wife. You're to love her. To honor her is to esteem her and love her, and it will cover the multitude of sins. Your love will do a lot to help her. That means you will not let others speak evil of her, and you'll be careful not to be too hard and rigid with your wife. Chivalry should never be dead among Baptist men and their marriages. Your wife is the weaker vessel in physical stature. You should not expect her to lug things around like a man and be a man either, by the way. You need to stop treating your wife like a man. Amen?
Right.
Come on! Amen. She's not supposed to do all the physical work and everything else, and while you stand around and do nothing, that's not her job to do. Amen? She's not to do all that. And by the way, men, if you see a lady coming in here and she's carrying a bunch of stuff, there is nothing wrong with saying, can I give you a hand with something? You know, that's not stepping over the bounds of anything. Amen? It's a lady carrying a bunch of stuff. There's nothing wrong with saying, can I help you with something? It used to be that's what men did. Amen? Before feminism came in. I'm telling you, it had a big impact on that. That's why men don't do that anymore, because they're afraid of offending somebody. I'm on the phone talking to a customer, and I'm afraid of offending her. She's asking me questions about her vacuum, and I'm afraid to say, well, does your husband fix it, or are you going to fix it? So I'm trying to be as light as I can, because some women will rip your face off. Oh, I can do that myself! And they butch up and say that. And then you're talking to them on the phone, and you don't want to make them mad. You know what I mean? You don't know if her husband fixes things, or she... Listen, my wife fixes things. I have no problem with that. I have no problem with that. In fact, she does a good job. But, hey, I'm serious. She does a real good job. But anyway, there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. I'm not saying there's any sin in that. What I'm saying is that for somebody to be offended if you ask them if their husband does that is amazing to me. They get really mad. Oh, I can do that myself. I don't need that man to do that for me. I'm like, man, don't roar at me, lady. Sorry. So I have to be very careful, you know, when you're talking to a customer, you're like, okay, well, do you do this? And like I said, there's nothing wrong with a lady fixing things. I love the fact that my wife can fix things. I'm not ashamed of it. I think it's great. But, makes it easy. But, hey, she can put together anything. It's amazing. But, anyway, what I'm saying is that we're so scared of that now. We're so scared to do something for a lady because we're afraid it's going to offend somebody. We need to get back to being that way with ladies. Amen? Treating them like the weaker vessel. When you see, boys should be helping mom. Amen? Mom shouldn't be, if you got sons, mom shouldn't be coming in carrying everything. Nope. You're not fathering those boys if you're not saying, son, you carry this, and you carry this, and that's the way it's going to be. Right. Amen? That's the way it's supposed to be. Why shouldn't it be that way? Amen? Are you training them to be men? Amen. That's what we do. We train to be men. You're to honor her and respect her and pay special attention to her as the weaker vessel. Helping her and working on her spiritual needs. Asking her if she has read her Bible and prayed. Do you hold your wife accountable? Problem is, a lot of husbands don't read their Bibles and they can't. Amen? But do you hold your wife accountable? Say, hey, are you reading your Bible? Are you praying? When's the last time you read? I ask my wife that every day or two. When's the last time you read your Bible? Amen? It's important. Amen? It's important. You ought to do that. As a husband, you're gonna do that. You're gonna need to do that if you want a spiritual home. I know families that go weeks and weeks without reading their Bibles. People, when's the last time you read your Bible? Oh, I don't know, a week or two, three or four. Amen. Sad. But then expect to have a spiritual marriage. It doesn't work like that, folks. It won't work. It will not work like that. And you see homes that aren't spiritual. Well, they go to church. Big deal. They go to church, but it's not lived out in their lives. There's no spiritual walk. I know a lot of lost people that go to church. Amen? Husband needs to hold his wife accountable for that. And you ought to privately be rebuking her and trying to aid her in her Christian growth. That ought to be happening privately, not in front of a bunch of people, but privately rebuking her and helping her and teaching her. Why? Because that's your duty. To strengthen her as she strengthens you. Amen? That's your duty. That's a husband's duty. He's not allowed to shirk that responsibility. You're to honor her, number three. You're to honor her because she is a joint heir with you in eternal life. There ought to be honor there because, listen, she's not a second-class citizen to heaven. Amen? Or in the kingdom. She is your wife and she's a joint heir with you. In the eyes of eternity, she is your equal. On this side, she may be subject to the order that God has laid down. But you are to honor her because in heaven, she will be as you are and all will be like Christ. Only subject to that order here. But in heaven, they're not given to marriage. Amen? She is not to be demeaned or treated like a child or a slave or an animal, but the one that you are joint heirs with. Understand that. That ought to give you a different perspective of how you treat your wife. And listen, folks, she's not standing behind you, but beside you. Understand that. Amen? Biblical subjection does not mean that she walks 6 feet behind me. Where was she taken from? Amen? Side. Where should she be? Your side. She's part of you. Duh. Amen? From your side. Her rightful place is beside you. Amen? We've got this whole subjection thing and leadership thing so skewed now that we misinterpret the Scriptures and we change it. She's not different than you in the sense that just because you're a leader doesn't mean... Look, we're all in the local New Testament church. And those that are members here are all members of this body, right? Not one member is greater than the other. Amen? All are equal. Just because there's the office of a pastor doesn't mean that I'm not subject to the same Word of God that you are. I am subject even the more. Amen? This does not mean that you do not obey the order that God has laid down just because you're joint heirs of eternal life, but the wife is still to submit to the husband and the husband to the Lord, but she is not to be treated like a second-class citizen. Weaker means I, as a leader, have more responsibility. Understand that, man. It means that you have more responsibility. Not less. Your children that you brought into the world, you don't have less responsibility over them, do you? Because they're children? Or because they're in subjection to you? No. You have more responsibility. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12:23, and those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Wow. Those that are weaker should have more attention. Amen? Should be given more honor. Amen? Which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. Husband, she deserves your respect because she's submitted to you and because she's the weaker vessel, and honor should be given her, and more care and nurture should be given her. You should not abuse that subjection. You should not abuse that trust. A leader does not abuse those things. Amen? He doesn't abuse that relationship. there's also another reason why you both should obey and be in your rightful place. I'm going to start over on verse number 1. I'm going to read you these 7 verses, and then I'm going to expound on the reason why, and then we'll be done here. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair, and of wearing of gold, and of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. But for after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adored themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as of the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. And this last part sums all 7 verses up, that your prayers be not hindered. You want to know why we don't have revival today in our churches? Well, first of all, we're not serious about it. That's the real reason. We've disobeyed God's order in our churches. In our families, in our churches, and our nation is a mess because of it. Our families have disobeyed God's order. Ladies are not submitting to their husbands. Husbands are not being biblical leaders over their wives and their families. And we say, oh, let's pray for revival. Give me a break. Who do you think you're kidding anyway? You think you're fooling God that you're going to cry out and say, oh, God, send revival here. See, Lord, we planned it. We got our meeting here. We planned revival. See, Lord, it's planned. So you got to show up because it's planned. No, He doesn't. He's God. He doesn't have to do anything He doesn't want to do. And He's not going to show up. You know why? Why should I show up? You already have your methods figured out. You already split up your family. Wives have already not submitted. You've already said the order of wives submitting to husbands is ancient. It's outdated. Oh, that's just a real barbarian feminist. That's a real chauvinistic way to look at it. It's a real biblical way to look at it. You have your feminism now. There's identical right. We're identical. No, we're not. So God says, why should I show up if you're not serious about it? You won't even follow my order. So what happens? Your prayers are hindered. When a wife does not submit to her husband, no prayers are being answered. Oh, don't think that just because the grace of God... Listen, the grace... The sun shines on a dog some days. Understand that. You may not like that, but it does. That's the nicest way I could say that statement. But anyway, the sun does shine on a dog some days, doesn't it? That does not mean that you're benefiting from your prayers. You understand that? Remember, other people are praying for you. Amen. What this says here is that your prayers be not hindered. Folks, our prayers are hindered. Our marriages are out of line, and we're praying, and the prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. Not going anywhere. Hindered. Why is that? Because the order God has laid down is not followed. When you're in direct rebellion to God, why should He answer your prayer? Why would He answer your prayer? He says He won't. Your prayers are hindered. One of the reasons our nation is in so much trouble is that our families are the same, are just destroyed. Spiritual revival we pray for, and our prayers aren't answered because they're not being heard. If the wife is not submitting to her own husband, and the husband is not honoring the wife as the weaker vessel and dwelling with her according to knowledge, our prayers are not answered. And God is just basically saying this, why don't you get real? You don't really want anything from me when you ignore my design for the marriage, for the family, for the home, for the church. Why would I send revival to a people who don't want it? Look at me. Why would God send revival to a people that do not want it? Folks, we don't want it because we're scared of it. Amen. You're scared of what God would ask. You and I are scared of what God would ask us to do if revival did hit. You might have to give up that rebellious attitude. Amen. Husband might have to quit playing games and start being a real man. Take care of his family. Amen? And leading. You want your country to get better? It all starts in the foundation of the home. Folks, our churches are messed up because the foundation of the home is just shaken. Nobody's on the same page in the home anymore. Nobody's going the same direction in average homes. Nobody communicates one with another. Nobody dwells together according to knowledge. It's all over the board. And we wonder why our families are destroyed. I mean, it's absolutely amazing to me that I could think of a pastor or somebody in a local church. And this is how far, I wouldn't think of this before, but as I study more and more and more, how I can think of a pastor that would sit and tell somebody, well, listen, you're just not supporting the church if you don't put your kid in that junior church program, and your kid shouldn't be in the service with you. When I hear that in my ears and I think about that, the first thing I think about is, this guy's nuts. I mean, how could he say that to somebody? How could you as a pastor, with the Word of God right in front of your face, look at somebody and say that to them? I'd be scared to say that to somebody. You know why I'd be so scared to say that to somebody? Because it's a lie! That's why. That's not biblical instruction. Well, you should support the program. Why? Does Jesus? I'm sorry, folks. But the whole bozo, the clown games, and all the little balls in the buckets and all those things, that's just not part of the church. Folks, it isn't. I know that offends people, and it may, but I'm just telling you, if you can show me where Jesus lined everybody up with the 12 apostles and said, let's throw rocks in the water, and the first person to get the most rocks gets some more bread or something, I don't know. But I mean, gets 5 loaves and 2 more fishies or something, I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out how you could see holy Jesus Christ walking on the shores, having a church service, saying, hey, you guys over here play some games. What are we doing over here? Oh, we're juggling. We brought in the clown. Look, it's Herod. Honestly, I know you're laughing, because it is funny, but just think about it. And if you're offended by this, then search your heart, then. And understand what's real about this book. And don't get offended, get right. I'm telling you, our nation and our families are in such trouble right now because we've got a skewed understanding of the truth. And I'm just trying to tell you, if you could show me in the New Testament where Jesus and Paul and everybody are going to be playing these games to attract people to the house of God, I just don't see it. And I know I'm going out of bounds because I'm actually going back to the Word of God for my understanding of church doctrine. But I'm telling you, folks, I just don't see it. If you can show me where they dressed up and played games and had human hot dogs Sunday, or they didn't have hot dogs back then, they were Jewish. But they would have had, what would they have, human lamb Sunday? I don't know what they would have had. I'm trying to think of it. I don't know, maybe they would have baked each other in a big old piece of bread. I don't know, but all I'm saying is that I don't see that in the New Testament. And let me be the first to tell you, I did not have these convictions as strong as I do now. I told my wife 3 years ago, I said, there's just something wrong here. Something's not right. Why? Well, all these people are attracted to come into a bus ministry and everything else. They're all attracted to come in here. But what are they attracted by? What are their lives changing like? They're all cussing, fighting, arguing. It's a battle to bring them all in. Everything's happening. Your kids are being defiled by what they're doing in the church house. All in the name of evangelism. See, you're just against the bus ministry. Well, partly I am, yeah. But that may offend you, but let me say this. It doesn't matter to me if it does. But the second thing let me say to you is that, listen, folks, the church is for the saved. Our evangelism is to be done out there. We're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We're to go into the highways and byways. And then guess what? When they get saved, they come to the house of God. Yes, lost people are always welcome at the house of God. But you know what? We don't turn our church into a party house to get people excited. The average youth pastor today, what do? They act like a kid. Do they not? What are they? They're an entertainer. But then we expect but our prayers are hindered and we don't understand why. And people get upset with you when you bring that reality. And all I say to them, could you please show me in the New Testament where you see this? Could you please show me where Jesus would do this? Could you please show me that? I don't care about any of your pragmatism. I don't care about you, Johnny Youth Pastor getting his feelings hurt because he can't play paintball wars with somebody or something, or color pictures. I don't know, whatever they do. And dress up like a hot dog. I understand he might be offended because he can't dress like a hot dog tomorrow. But could you tell me what that has to do with the Word of God? Well, we're just trying to reach people. Well, so are the charismatics, but you put them down for doing what they do. Well, you're okay. You can dress up like a hot dog, but that guy can't have a rock concert? What's the difference? See, why are you bringing this in? Because our prayers are hindered because our order is wrong. Our order is all wrong. The way we're conducting ourselves, we're trying to attract lost people to the house of God so you and I can be lazy and we don't have to go out and reach the lost. So we changed it. What we did was we said this, let's mark it so that we don't have to do what we're supposed to do. We can just mark it. And we'll knock on the door and we'll hand you a flyer that says you're going to get a super duper gummy worm tomorrow if you come to church. Right? Or the preacher's going to swallow a goldfish. Right? If you come to church, well, man, if I can get a preacher to swallow a goldfish, I'll come to church for that. So they come to church and they get a gummy worm and the preacher swallows a goldfish, I guess. I don't know. I'd rather eat the gummy worm and let them swallow the goldfish. I did that once. I don't like swallowing goldfish. That's gross. And I drank Coke after it, too, and it just kind of whittled in my stomach. It was really a weird thing. I was on it in the acid, the Coke. It's like, what a world. I think that thing's crying in my stomach, you know. I mean, I really think that's what was happening. It was really a weird experience. I never quite got over that. I still remember it. Man, that thing tasted gross. But anyway, all in the name of evangelism. But listen, folks, when you look at it, think about it. Does it really make sense if you look at the structure and order of the church? Now we'll go back to your homes. If you and I are not following this order, honoring our wives as a weaker vessel, loving our families, if we're not following God's simple rules, how can He trust us with anything else? Why do you think the bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife, ruling well his own house? Why do you think that is? Because God says, if he know not how to rule his own house, how shall he rule the house of God? How can he? So you and I want blessings from God, but how can we receive them if we won't obey his simple command? When you obey light, God gives more light. Amen? We can't afford to let pride get in our way and say, well, bless God, I'm a lady and I can do what I want and we're equal. And this, you know, you can continue to do that and you can destroy your marriage. Or husband, you can continue to be a bully and not honor your wife as the weaker vessel. And you can continue to take advantage of her because she is weaker than you are in some areas. And you can continue to be mean to her and aggressive towards her and everything else. But you're not honoring God. Amen? And we're never going to see the power of God in our lives, in our families, our homes, our marriages. We won't see it. Because we're not willing to obey what God has for us. Stand to your feet if you would, please. I just want you to think about these things just for a few seconds here. With your heads bowed, your eyes closed. We don't need any music playing or anything like that. I just want you to think about a few things. Have you been following God's biblical order in the home? Wife, have you been submitting to your husband? Husband, have you been honoring your wife as the weaker vessel? Weak doesn't mean inferior, by the way. It just means more delicate. More to care for, more to love. You need to think about these things because it affects your family, it affects your church, and it affects your family. You want real revival? You want God to do something in our church? You want to plant more churches like I want to? You want to see that vision lived out? You want to see God do it again? Let's follow God's order. So He'll bless us and heal us. You want to dwell with your wife according to knowledge, understanding her? Understanding her needs, dwelling with her according to knowledge is knowing her needs and being willing to fulfill those needs and take care of her.